This episode of Local Runners Podcast is sponsored by the Village Hotel and Gym in Ashton. The Village Hotel and Gym is located in Ashton-under-Lyne, just off the M60 at Junction 23, where you're just 20 minutes away from Manchester City Centre by car. It's well connected to Manchester's train and tram lines, with Ashton-under-Lyne train station and Ashton West metro station within walking distance from the hotel. If you're not from the local area and want to visit, it's ideally located just outside Manchester, close to the Peak District National Park, which is perfect for day trips, runs, cycling and hiking. The hotel has a gym, health and wellness centre, perfect for keeping active and getting that cross training in. Welcome to episode 14 of the Local Runners Podcast, the podcast by runners, for runners. We are your hosts. I'm Sean Warburton.
I'm Dave Norman.
I'm Gav Phil.
And I'm Callum Parkinson. Now we finally have our t-shirt supplier confirmed as final bear. You can order your Local Runners Podcast t-shirts, hoodies, running vests, sports caps and truckers.
The winner of the t-shirt competition was Ashley Buckley. He's had his delivered this week and we've seen that some people have ordered theirs, which is great news. Get yours ordered too.
Now on to training. Over the last few weeks, there have been a few races. There's been park runs, there's been the Trimple 20, the Antrim Half Marathon, and the South Cheshire 20. So I'm going to ask Sean to go first. Sean, could you give us an update on your training and racing since the last episode?
Yeah, it's been quite busy, really, hasn't it? Because I think we've had 2.5 weeks since we were last together. So I ran that Trimple 20 with Mark Collier just a few days after we interviewed him in episode 13. So my plan in that race was to run it at marathon pace, 6 minute miles, 6 minute miling. And the weather was quite hot, but we worked together quite well throughout that race. The route had changed quite considerably. So they kept us on like a cycle path. So there was no traffic, which was good. And it was out and back route. So it was like a 10 mile out and back, really. So, yeah, it's just settled into a nice early pace for Mark and we ticked away at 6 minute mile and fit good. I finished third and Mark finished fourth. So I just kicked on a little bit in the last 2 miles. I always try and finish quick on these 20 mile runs just to try and replicate that marathon hurt, really, I suppose, is what you describe it. Yeah, so I was really pleased with that. And I backed myself for George Foreman Drill for finishing third. So I was pleased with that. I think I've got through them now. I've won in various raffles and races. So if anyone wants one of those, if you get bored of kale, Cal, you know, give me a shout. Week after that, I went on to run, headed over to Northern Ireland for the Antrim Coast Half. So this race, I wanted to have a real bash at a PB at. So I wanted to go sub 1:15 and a half marathon. First of all, what a stunning place Antrim Coast is. If you ever get the chance to go over there, we had a great few days, me and Sarah and Benny the dog. We just loved it. Beautiful scenery. Dramatic coastlines, went up to the Giant's Causeway. We loved it. The race itself starts in Larne. So you do a quick loop around Larne town, you go down into the port. Yeah, and there's a little bit of hilliness in that first 5K, to be honest. Once you head out along the Antrim coast, it's pretty pan flat. And we're fortunate on the day. We didn't have a lot of wind. So any wind we did have was on the way out. On the way back in, the wind was behind us. So we set off at 5:40s, which I needed for 15, and just held it all the way through. I mean, when does that ever happen? When you have a race plan, run it, and it just goes to plan perfectly without any issues. So I was almost in shock at the end when I just come running in, bang on time that I wanted to do it in. So I finished in 1:14:39, I think, around on the day. So big PB for me. That's like 2.5 minutes off what I'd run previously in the half marathon. Felt good as well. I think that the most important thing I took from that was I felt good. I felt good the next day as well. Picked up on, just went straight back into marathon training. And then the last one I ran is the South Cheshire 20, which is only this weekend. It's a 20-mile race put on by South Cheshire Harriers. It's a hilly one, though. So mile 8 through to 14 is quite a lot of ups and downs, and it was hot. So I set off for just about 6-minute miling again.
knew I needed to just take it easy through the hilly section in the middle. There was one lad who ran off front pretty early, so I didn't chase him. But the lads who were running with me just sort of drifted away once we went into the hills. Once we came out of the hills, then running back in, I was able to lift pace to about just a mile and finished quite strong. Again, I think I was running maybe 5:50s for the last 5 miles, so I was pretty pleased with that. I remember thinking on the day, thinking, God, I wish this was London Marathon now when I was in it, in the zone, and because I felt okay, and I just hope that, I hope now that happens on race day. I'm in that situation now where I just want London Marathon to get here now before anything goes wrong. I've had a really good training block and I didn't go into it well. Do you remember at the start of the year, it was all bad news for me, wasn't it, with meltdowns and 5Ks? It's amazing how quick things turn around. Both ways, you know, they can go one way and quite quickly, can't they? But I'm in a good place at the minute. It's really enjoyed the last few weeks. 3 weeks on to London Marathon. The big smoke for me. I'm really looking forward to it. What about yourself, Carl? How's the last few weeks gone for you?
Well, some good news is I've finally done a park run. Went to Hyde Park on Saturday, cycled down. And then I got 19:58, which I was quite happy with, getting a sub 20. Not really done much speed work over a 5K. Nearly stopped at the end of the first lap, but Gareth dragged me along just for me to beat him by 2 seconds. But it was the day that Dave Barrett went down as well. As soon as he turned up, saw Sean's head, just dipped down like, oh, I'm not going to win.
I was going to go and get back in the car.
And I genuinely thought I was going to get lapped. So as I came out of the woods to start my last lap, he was coming into the woods. And it was just phenomenal seeing the speed of him. That turn coming out of the park and going into the woods absolutely flew by him all. And then my long runs on Sundays, asked for a bit of advice about what session to do last Sunday. So I've been doing, trying to get an half marathon in each Sunday, mixing it up on the pacing. So on Sunday, I did 7:30s with 2 blocks of 2 mile at the Great North Run pace. Bib turned up today for the Great North Run, which I'm happy with. And then I've just been looking at like what trainers to wear. But I think I'm settled on the Adizero Pros, the Adios ones. But really looking forward to Sunday. Organised to stay over the night before. So staying over with Steve Page. Topping and tailing in a Premier Inn, I think. Which is good. But it'll be good to travel down with someone. And I think he's in the wave just behind me as well. I think he's going for a sub 130. So I'm going to be pacing 135. I'm really looking forward to it. I've been told that the Red Arrows are going to fly over a couple of times as well. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And that's it from me, really. What about yourself, Gav? You back into training now?
Yeah, not much to report. A couple of sessions last week. Not done any park runs recently. Just taking over, to be honest. Not much to report. For myself, unfortunately. What about yourself, Dave? How are you getting on? I noticed you did a session on the famous Park Road with Dan the other week. That went well, so...
Yeah, a bit more positive update than last time. I seem to be over the worst of my injury now. I've built back up to a couple of 60-mile weeks now. I started doing tempos and interval work again, and I seem to be having no issues doing them, which is obviously very positive. I am still getting some mild knee pain if I run further than an hour or if I run on any hills. So I just need to be a little bit careful, but obviously it's very positive that it's improving all the time. I'd like to start looking at some races towards the end of the month. And I'm actually off work this Saturday for Nigel Martin's wedding, so I might even take the opportunity to do a park run this Saturday somewhere.
Nice one, sounds good. I'll be there at the wedding as well. So
brilliant.
Yeah, a couple of beers there. More beers and miles, eh?
Exactly.
Now you look like you've managed that injury really well, Dave. Actually,
I think you remember, Sean, when we uh, when when we did the recording for the tour with Neil and Jackie and Basher and Tony, I think I was saying to you then, oh, I'm a bit worried about this this calf. And I think it was the following day it just completely went. So yeah, that was a few weeks ago now, and had a full week off, and yeah, just slowly built back up, and yeah, just really pleased to be doing what I'm doing at the moment.
Yeah, but I bumped into Bash, you know, at the Antrim Coast Half. I mean, I know it's only a small country, Northern Ireland, but small world, isn't it? I was just, I thought, hiya, Bash. I don't think you recognise me because you've seen the rest of me, not just me, Ed, off the interview. But it was good to see him, actually. I should have brought them blue T-shirts for them.
Yeah.
Great to hear you back running, Dave, and going well.
Cheers, Gav. Yeah. No, it's obviously, for me, it's always about ticking boxes, you know. So if you can get a reasonable amount of miles in each week, get your long running, get your tempo in, get a set of intervals in, you know, you're well on the way, aren't you? But yeah, the key is obviously doing it week in, week out.
On to the guest of the episode. We have an ex-East Cheshire Harrier and now a Sale Harrier, a local triathlete who grabbed the hearts of the nation with spectacular performances at Tokyo 2020, winning silver in the triathlon and gold in the mixed relay triathlon this year, as well as winning gold World Triathlon Series in 2020. Please welcome Georgia Taylor-Brown. Welcome, Georgia.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, good to meet you.
Welcome, Georgia. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
So we're going to dive straight in to my questions. So I'll start with the first one. I just want to know about your diet, really. So what does your diet look like on a standard day?
Oh, well, I've just finished a big slice of Rocky Road, so I wouldn't say I have any sort of strict diet, to be honest. Everyone always asks that question, and I think because you see athletes and we're, I guess, super lean and super fit, you kind of just assume that we eat very well. And I'd say I do eat well, like I enjoy eating healthy food, but I also eat a lot of food. And I think, I guess it's different for different sports. Like if you're in a sport where you've got to make a weight, then it's very different and you have to be quite strict. But for me, I literally just try and eat as much as I can when I can, because I train so many hours. So when I'm not training, I'm just trying to get as much as I can in. And I just like just things really keeping on top of protein and calcium, just easy things really, like yogurt, having protein shakes around the house or protein bars, just high protein things and high calcium things really for me, because the biggest downfall for me is sort of bone injuries. So I have to make sure that I'm keeping my calcium content quite high. So yeah, I'd say I eat what I want when I want, to be honest. Leading into a race, it's very basic stuff, just like rice and plain foods, really. But yeah, I just eat what I want when I want.
It's great to hear, really, because I think what you touched on there, that, you know, people think that top athletes like yourself eat perfect, but it's really good to know that it's a bit more of maybe a balanced diet approach. You know, having a bit of treats, you know, when you want, like you said tonight. So no, really good. So my next question is regarding the Olympic triathlon. So obviously I stayed up to watch it, and most of the guys on here did. So what went through your mind when you realised you had a flat tyre? You look really composed. You managed to stay on the bike because, you know, it was wet. So what went through your mind when you realised you had that flat tyre?
Well, I heard what I thought was my disc brake. I just heard a tss, and I thought it was my brake rubbing. And I thought, oh, great, what a time for my brake to lock on and fail on me. And then when I came off of the little ramp and I was on sort of a flat surface, I realized that my tire was completely flat. So I think initially I panicked a little bit. I was probably a bit heartbroken because I was so close to completing the bike leg, which is the worst part for me because there's so many things like a puncture or mechanical, or you can crash, so many things that sometimes they're out of your control, and so many things that can happen. So yeah, I was like 2K away from being able to get onto the run, and that's my strongest discipline. And then that happened. And so I was just a bit devastated at first. And then I think after a few seconds, I sort of laughed because I was like, well, this is just my luck this year, because I've had no luck at all because I got an injury leading into the games. And then the next thing, I was like, okay, well, what do we do now? So there was a wheel station coming up, but I quickly thought, well, if I change my wheel now, I'm going to at least lose about a minute because I've got to stop, get off my bike, find my wheel. Then I've got to take my wheel out, put that new wheel back in. Like it would have taken far too long. So I figured out I could just about get around the corners safe enough. And then on the straight sections, I could ride pretty hard. The puncture didn't really affect me on that. I got back on the group, and then I knew I was going to lose them again on the final few turns into transition. But I think I only lost about 22 seconds in the end. So I didn't lose too much time. And yeah, the whole time I just tried not to panic because it was nothing that I could control at that point. So there was really no point in me panicking about it because there was nothing I can do. It happened. So I just had to control what I could control that time. And that was making sure that my nerves stayed low and I didn't panic. So yeah, I think I managed it fairly well.
Oh, so yeah, you certainly did. I suppose the worry is if you start trying to work too hard to stay in contact, you save nothing for the run. Which, you know, you was really strong, weren't you, on the run, and managed to work your way back through. So, no, fantastic. So since Tokyo then, how's your life changed since then?
It hasn't changed really. And I think people keep asking, oh, is it sunk in yet? And I don't really know what I should be experiencing or what that means for it to sink in. Today, actually, just about half an hour ago, I was just making tea and I just got this like overwhelming feeling of just really wanting to have that feeling of crossing the finish line again and just that magical feeling. And only just now I'm starting to feel those things again after, I guess, I came home and there's a lot of like things going on. You get invited to different things, which is really lovely. And I'm just taking all those opportunities in while I can. But yeah, I think I guess it has started to sink in now, because now I'm really starting to miss the Olympic Games and I really want that feeling again. So yeah, I think it's just been a bit strange because I've not ended my season. I've still got quite a few races to go. So I guess there hasn't been time for it to fully settle and for me to take it all in. But nothing's really changed, to be honest, because I had a few sort of easier days and then I have got back into training and I've got back into racing again, which I'm quite enjoying, to be honest. It's nice to be able to do something.
Yeah, and you know, if you're saying that you miss the Olympics, you know, it's at least it's a year less this time before the next one comes around, which is really good. Yeah. So we've got some listeners' questions then that have been sent in. Mark Bowsey via Facebook. He's part of Daddy's Escape. So his question is, when and how did you start running?
So I started running when I was 14, I think I was. And I started in high school. So I did, like, we did schools cross country kind of stuff. So within my high school, I went to Fairfield High School for Girls. We did cross country just around the fields, and every girl absolutely hated it, except for me. I absolutely loved it. But I hadn't ran before then, really, because I was a swimmer. So I swam about 18 hours a week. So I didn't really have time for anything else. and obviously school on top of that. So what is that, like, maybe year nine that I started running? So I did the cross country within my school, and I think my PE teacher at the time, she kind of noticed that I had a bit of a talent and I enjoyed it. And then I went to the Tameside cross country And then I did well there. And then I went to Greater Manchester's and then English schools, and then just sort of did national cross, inter counties, just kept going through all the different levels. And I was mainly just still swimming at that point for probably the first 2 years of me running. I was mainly just swimming. I was doing one run session a week at East Cheshire Harriers with a girls group down there. I used to go from a Tuesday night swim session straight over to East Cheshire to do a Tuesday night run session. And that's about it, because I was just purely endurance based. That's why I've never been good at running on the track, because I don't have the spring in my step. I don't have the speed. I can just run all day at one pace. And I just love cross country. Like, even now I get really excited, you know, the smell of grass when it's being cut, and it just reminds me of cross country. And I don't know, the smell of it is like Christmas Day for me. I just get really excited about it. I think cross country is the sport that I love the most. And I hope that I can continue doing that. But yeah, so that's how I started running, really, through just schools cross country stuff. And then, just moved up through the rankings.
Excellent. We've got a question from Alice via email. She says, I have a question for Georgia. You seem to have spent your whole life with such discipline and dedication to running and triathlon. I was wondering if you had ever made any mistakes on this journey. Like, were you ever in any trouble at school, or did you ever skip training to be with friends?
I didn't. No, well, yeah, so I guess I have been quite disciplined, but I was actually talking to my friend about this the other day, because all I've ever really known is sport, and I've not just been in sport because I might be good at it. I actually just love it. I love what I do, and I think that's quite important. I loved going to swimming sessions because I had such a nice group of friends around me at those sessions, and I just wanted to be there to have fun with them. I'm not like super dedicated sometimes. And especially when I was younger, I would get out of swim sessions and pretend that I needed the toilet, and I'd go and stand in the shower for 20 minutes and just say, oh, I had a bad belly. So I used to try and get out of swim sessions as much as I could. But we all did. We all like messed around and stuff. And the coach used to get us out sometimes and talk through the session. And I remember a few of us would always look back to everyone and say, ask questions, so we could just miss more of the session. So, yeah, no, I mean, we were just cheeky young kids, weren't we? And all kids try and get out of it. But no, I'm obviously very, very dedicated and committed. And I have been from a young age, but I don't feel like I've missed out on anything from growing up, like through my teenage years. My friends that I was close with then, they all kind of went out to house parties and things like that, but I never actually wanted to go. And if I did want to go, I would go, but I never actually wanted to go to things like that. Maybe I'm just a really boring person, but I just love sport. it's just that simple.
Well, that's your fix, isn't it? Sport's your fix. Other people find fixes in ways, and you by training and racing and competing. So it's good. So I'm going to pass you over to Callum now. Thanks a lot for answering those.
Thank you.
Welcome to the podcast, Georgia.
Thank you.
So I've got a couple of questions from me, and then I've got some from listeners. So the first question from me was, when you found out that you were going to the Olympics representing GB, what went through your mind, and how did you feel with any sort of pressure?
I think so. That was the back end of 2019. And so we had two races that we had to perform in that year. One was in Yokohama in Japan at the beginning of the year in April. And I think I came fifth, and we needed to get a top three. And then the second race was the Tokyo Test event, which we had to podium again. And I did podium and I didn't. Me and my friend finished first and second, but we got disqualified because we held hands across the finish line. So we did win, but we didn't officially win because we were disqualified in the end. So we kind of knew, and me and that girl Jess, we also finished second and third in the World Series rankings at the end of the 2019 season. So we kind of knew that we were potentially going to get selected on sort of the discretionary side because we didn't hit criteria to be automatically selected. But then still, though, like, it's just so close with the British girls. It was hard to know exactly that we were going to get selected. So we still had to wait for the email. And I actually got the email for selection when I was in hospital with my partner, because at the time I went away to do the test event, he fell off his bike and he broke his neck. So he was in a halo, and we were going to the hospital because he was having problems with it. And then I got email through. So it was a bit of a weird time, a time where you think you should be really happy and excited and just jumping up and down. But I don't know, it was strange because I was really excited, but at the same time, my partner was in a lot of pain and there was complications with that. So it was a very weird time. But yeah, I got the email, and I was definitely very excited because it was a childhood dream coming true. But I don't think it all really sunk in until I went to the kitting out day at the beginning of this year, and you get all the kit and then you actually feel like you're part of the team and you see other athletes there that have been selected and you're all together as a triathlon team as well. That's when it really sunk in. But I didn't really feel any pressure. It was mostly just excitement, to be honest, up until we actually got to Tokyo, and then the nerves and pressure really kicked in, because I think obviously the Olympics is on such a big scale compared to just a normal triathlon event. You get so many people from over the years that you've met messaging you to say good luck, and it's so lovely, but at the same time you feel like you have to perform for them and it puts so much pressure on you. So I think, like, looking forward to Paris, I'll definitely have to try and control that better and maybe just completely turn my phone off for the week leading into the games, because I think that's the biggest reason I got so nervous for the Olympics, is just everyone messaging you and everyone saying they're going to watch it, and you just don't want to let anyone down. You don't want to disappoint them. You just want to make everyone proud. But yeah, I'd say it all sort of sunk in when I actually got to Tokyo. And before then, it was obviously real, it was happening, but I just didn't think about it because I just tried to think, oh, it's just another triathlon. I know what I'm doing. I've done loads of them now. It's just another race and I've got to prepare as best as I can.
So is your other half okay now?
Is everything? Oh, yeah, he's all right. He had the halo on for 12 weeks. So yeah, that happened. He came off his bike just as I landed in Tokyo for the test event in 2019. So that was a little bit of a shock. So yeah, that wasn't the most ideal prep leading into that race, but he was well looked after by my family.
A big day of mixed emotions then.
Yeah.
So when you're not training, what do you do on your downtime?
Walk the dog. So I really enjoy going for walks, especially when the weather's nice. It's definitely easier. But no, I we've got woods right by our house, so I go straight into the woods and walk the dog, and it's just nice to have a bit of chill time and just time outside, not training. Other than that, nothing much, to be honest. Cooking, cleaning the house. I really enjoy cleaning the house. Don't know why, but I've just always liked cleaning. And yeah, cooking, and I just enjoy being in the kitchen. And just like trying different recipes and cooking things or baking things, or I like making sourdough bread and just experimenting in the kitchen, really. But no, I don't get up to too much, to be honest.
So did you make the Rocky Road yourself?
No, I didn't actually. No, it's from a local cafe. I entered a charity competition thing and I won some Rocky Road. So she dropped it off yesterday for me. So it's nearly all gone.
You definitely won because you was at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So at the moment, you're training in Leeds with some great athletes. So when you first arrived, how did you feel training with them day in and day out?
I was really nervous at first because I was fairly new to triathlon at that point. I came in at 18 and I only did my first triathlon at 16. So I was really new to triathlon, and I was still very starstruck by those athletes. We had like Al and John Brownlee there, Non Stanford, Vicky Holland. There were so many big names, and I just thought I was a little bit out of place. So I would do swim sessions and gym sessions with them and run sessions, and we'd go on rides and stuff. So I just learned a lot from them, to be honest. And I think I just completely threw myself in and tried to take any advice that they were giving me. But yeah, I think then after a while you sort of forget about it, and you don't think about who you're training with at all. They're just there, and they're also just an athlete, and they're just trying to get better. And then I think you have some moments of realization where you're like, whoa, I'm swimming next to the Olympic champion. That's pretty crazy. So yeah, no, it was a bit strange at first, but I think I fitted in quite well. And I just jumped straight into their training and just took all the advice that they could give me, to be honest.
So sticking with people who you train with, do you have any competitive rivalry? And do you do any little mini competitions in training?
We don't do loads of like full triathlons in training, really. We do more sort of brick sessions, but we'd never do like a full triathlon. So we'll do some swim to bike stuff or some bike to run stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we're always competitive. I mean, all athletes are competitive, aren't they? You need that little something. So you're always trying to better yourself, and there's always people in training sessions that are definitely better than me. So I'm trying to keep up with them. And I've got good training partners around me as well. We've got a really good group. But yeah, no, we don't do too much work together, as in like racing during training sessions. We definitely save that for race time, because I just think we're always too tired to be at each other's throat all the time in race in training.
So you raced at, is it Canary Wharf you raced at the weekend?
Yeah, I raced there on Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that good fun?
Yeah, it was actually. It was nice, and it was good to have spectators again. It was just nice to have people around watching the races. So no, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was tough. Super League racing is really hard. It's just very fast, and it's not what I'm very good at, but I do still enjoy it. And I like the challenge. But no, it's good fun. I enjoy it. So I've got three more weekends of that. So I'm sure I'll be absolutely shattered by the end of it. It's fun. It's nice to be around all the girls, and you don't usually get to spend that much time with them at other like World Series races. So I enjoy it, to be honest.
Good. And it's Team Scorpions, isn't it, that you're in?
Team Scorpions, yeah. We're in second, but it's going to be hard to beat the Eagles, but we'll try.
So my next question and my final question is, having three disciplines and being so good at all three, what's your strongest and what's your weakest and why?
So I would say my strongest is probably the run, and my weakest would be swimming, which is annoying because I spent so long as a kid doing all those hours in the pool, and yeah, my swimming is the weakest, so it's like all those years are wasted. But I think in terms of triathlon, the swimming is very different because it's open water, and it's something that you just have to, I think you just get used to over time. It's so daunting at first because you dive in and people are just instantly on top of you, and it's quite terrifying because there's points where you might get grabbed from behind, someone pulls your foot, someone bobs your head down. And I think it's something that you just have to realize, okay, you're going to a race and you think it's going to happen, and I just have to prepare for the worst because it is going to happen to everyone. But swimming's definitely the one that I've had to work on the most over the past year or so, because I knew going into the Olympics that I needed to be with the front pack out of the water. Otherwise the race was pretty much over, because the way the racing had been going was that there was a nice small group away out the water. There was a strong group of cyclists then, and we'd get time on the chase pack. So I knew that I had to really commit to my swim sessions, and I definitely changed my attitude as well. I, because I just didn't enjoy swimming that much, I used to just go and do it half-heartedly, to be honest. And then I had to really change my attitude and think about how much I actually wanted to do well at the Olympics and how much it meant to me. So I just had to fully commit to those swim sessions and worked with my coach. And we really worked on like my get out speed much better and much faster and stronger. So yeah, there was a few things we did there. So that's the thing that I've worked on the most, to be honest. And then over the years, I've just got stronger on the bike. The more miles I've done, the more sessions I've done, I've just got stronger. And then, yeah, again, my running, I've tried to change that up. I used to go out fairly slow in races and then build up and try and pick people off. But now I've realised I've got to go out a lot faster to be able to be in the race.
I get what you're saying about the being in open water, because when I injured myself a few years ago, I took up open water swimming at Sale Water Park and tried a couple of duathlons. And I had someone try to bob my head under at the start, and it really, really knocked me for six.
Yeah, yeah, it's horrible. We kind of did some training at the beginning of last year in Australia where we were learning techniques to hold our breath. So we sat at the bottom of the sea with a big rock, and we just had to hold our breath as long as we could and just try, basically said to just try and think of happy thoughts. And that makes you realize you can get through it and you can keep pushing longer than you think. So yeah, I think, I don't know, it was just finding ways to deal with that stress of if you're going to get dunked and you think that you're going to die or something, or you're going to have a panic attack, then you're not, you can handle more than you think.
Great answer. So I've got a couple of questions now from Matt Latham of Salford Harriers. He does a lot of triathlons. He's very keen. So do you enjoy coming back to do more pure running races like cross country and see how you compete against the best in the UK when training for a triathlon?
Yeah, I love cross country. And I think for me as well, it fits in quite nice because it's not in my triathlon season. It's in my off season, in the winter training season, where things are a bit boring and I've just not got much motivation in the winter because I've got no races to be prepared for. So I end up switching off and missing sessions here and there because I think, well, what's the point? I've got 6 months to get fit. So if I know that I've got a cross country race, then it helps me train for that. But yeah, I just enjoy going to those cross country races, and I think it does help because my winter training is all about sort of the strength side of things. We don't do any fast stuff. We just do mostly strength based stuff and getting some power behind me. And putting those base miles in for the winter. So yeah, just I enjoy going to the cross country and seeing how my winter block has paid off and if I can keep up with the best. But I like a little challenge as well, so it's nice to be able to go there and run with the runners and see where I'm at.
Have you got any plans to do cross country this year then? And have you got any, where would that be?
Yeah, definitely. If it's on, well, it'd probably be, for me, it'll be beginning of next year. I usually try and do something like the Northern Cross and the National Cross. So yeah, fingers crossed it will be on because I have missed it. So hopefully I'll get to do some cross country.
So we've got another question from Matt Latham. It's, with a history of running injuries, has triathlon helped find a balance where the swim bike helps balance out training, putting in less pressure on aiming for high mileage run weeks?
So since starting triathlon, I've had a lot of bone stress injuries. I guess I've just probably got things very wrong. I think as an athlete, you're always on the limit. And for me, that's usually, I lose weight quite fast when I'm training hard. So going back to question like you asked me at the start about eating, that's why I just have to eat as much as I can and eat all the right things, because I do tend to lose weight very, very fast once I'm starting that hard summer season training. So I think we're lucky though as a triathlete that if we can't run because we're injured, we can cross train. So I can swim and I can ride my bike, so I can keep my fitness there. So it's quite good that I have that alternative. And I think cross training is great, to be honest. I don't think everyone needs to be running massive mileage. I think you can mix things up with a bit of swimming, a bit of cycling, just to take the load off Because for me, I only run like between 30 and 35 miles a week. So I run four times a week. So I don't do very much running. But then I obviously, in total, I do 25 hours of training. And as a just a runner, there's you wouldn't be able to do that. It would be too much on your body. So I think it is good to mix things up and put a bit of riding in there just for the aerobic side of things, and maybe just keep your run sessions there. So you've got the speed and the power for the running. But yeah, just instead of doing those long runs, maybe do a ride or something instead.
So sticking with the ride, what's your favourite bike route around Manchester, or even your run route around Manchester?
Oh, God, I haven't trained in Manchester for ages. I used to sort of go out Duffstone's Way on my bike and just keep riding out that way. And it gets a bit quieter because it was always quite busy from where I sat off. But yeah, and then running wise, probably just running along the canal and doing a loop back round through some sort of trails and paths. But yeah, I haven't trained there in a while, to be honest. I do like going on the mountain bike at the mountain bike park near the velodrome. That's quite fun and just something different.
Yeah, Dave Norman's a big fan of Duffstone. I think he's eager to say something there.
Love it, it's awesome.
I do like Duffstones.
So the last question from Matt is, what's been your favourite race course over the years and the most memorable?
My favourite race course, probably Leeds, you know. And not just because that's where I live and it's where I train. I think it's just a genuinely good course. Like it's just a hard, honest course, and it's got a bit of everything, and the crowd there is always incredible. So I think Leeds would probably be my favourite course.
And that's the Leeds Triathlon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. That's all the questions from me. So I'll thank you very much for answering them. I'm going to pass you over to Dave now.
Thank you.
Hi, Georgia.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on and joining us. So as you're probably aware, our podcast is a local-themed podcast, focusing primarily on the Tameside area. Now, we've already mentioned your athletics journey began at East Cheshire Harriers. So what do you remember about your time as a young athlete at East Cheshire?
So I remember Tuesday evenings, I think, quite vividly. I remember turning up with wet hair and having a bobble hat on because I'd just come from a swim session. And at that time, we were with Andy Owen, and we had a girls group, and we would go and do sessions either on the road, like little road loops by the Snipe. Is that right? I think. God, I've not been home for ages. And then we'd also go and do sessions sort of around a road loop near a church in Ashton as well. And yeah, I think I just remember it always being dark and horrible, and I just had wet hair, and it was not like looking back now, I don't know how I managed it. I'd just come from a 2.5 hour swim session straight to doing a hard run session. But I just really enjoyed it because I had my really close friend there, and then we had a really nice group of girls, and we just really like pushing each other. So I think, yeah, that's what I remember from being at East Cheshire the most, is just those Tuesday evening run sessions.
And then you later went on to join up with Paul Roden at the training group at Wivenshaw. Just tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, so I moved to Paul, I guess, because the girls group I was in at East Cheshire were kind of at that age where a lot of girls start dropping out and are not enjoying it anymore and get introduced to boys and going out. And as we discussed earlier, I was very dedicated and committed to sport. So I decided to make the move to, primarily a men's group, to be honest, with Paul at the time. There was a few girls, but it was mostly men. So yeah, I found a really good group there, and I think I ended up committing myself to that group a lot more, and I did a lot more sessions, and Paul kind of oversaw my training as well, and he would look at my plan, my runs in there as well, whereas I don't think Andy did that as much. I just basically turned up for that one session a week, whereas Paul would set my easy runs and set my hard sessions and set that with my triathlon coach at the time, because I was doing triathlon then. So yeah, I think we just got a really good setup there, and I ended up using one of Paul's sons, Adam. I used him as sort of my training partner because he was younger than me, but he was perfect pace for me, and he pushed me every session. So yeah, those sessions were really hard. I remember those being really, really tough once I joined Paul's group, because you're surrounded by boys who just want to race each other all the time.
Me and Gav only know it only too well. We've been part of that group for many years.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to ask a bit about the difference between athletics and triathlon. So athletics has lost a lot of successful runners to triathlon. Why do you think this is, and what are the main differences you've noticed between athletics and triathlon yourself?
I'm not sure why athletics has lost so many athletes to triathlon. For me, the main differences are that I just think triathlon's just fun, and I think it's more welcoming, and it's more chilled, it's more welcoming, it's more of a little community, whereas athletics, I feel like you've got the top dogs and then you've got everyone else competing, and the top dogs are sort of untouchable, whereas in triathlon, you go to a triathlon event and you kind of competing on the same day as the age group triathletes, and we're all just the same. We're all just triathletes and we're just enjoying it. So I just think it's a bit more inclusive, and I don't know. I think it's just a nicer environment to be in than running. I think running's was always quite intense and serious. And in triathlon, it's just a bit more fun and a bit more relaxed. But I don't know, maybe also athletics have lost the runners to triathlon because so many athletes get injured and then they start cross training and then they realize, oh, I can swim, I can ride a bike, why don't I give triathlon a go? And then they do one. And like I said, it's such a nice community. They realize how fun it is. And then they just get hooked on it. I think like most people, when they do one triathlon, they just want to keep coming back for more.
No, that's really interesting. It's a very good insight, that. So aside from your triathlon successes, you were obviously a very accomplished runner. I believe you've run 33 minutes for 10K. You've won the National Cross Country Championships, amongst other things. So do you ever think about all the running competitions that you've missed and what you might have achieved? And do you have any plans to focus a bit more on your running events in the future, perhaps?
No, I don't think I'm a good enough runner. I think I'm a good enough runner for triathlon. I just don't think I wouldn't be able to do the mileage for running. I don't think I have the specific speed. And I feel like as a runner, you kind of need to be able to run on the track. And for me, I just hate the track. I absolutely categorically hate it. It's just not for me at all. And I've tried and tried to enjoy it, but it just makes me cry. So I just avoid it at all costs. So I just don't think I want to be a runner. I enjoy running. And I don't know, maybe I would like to do ultra runs or something like that, like adventure runs. But nothing serious in the running world. I just think, yeah, it's just not for me. It's a bit too intense. And I don't think I have the speed or the tactics or anything about it. I appreciate all the runners and the track runners out there, and they do inspire me, but it's definitely not for me.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page as you, Georgia. I've always been much more of a cross-country man rather than a track, for sure. Yeah. Right, so we've got a few questions from listeners. I'm going to start with one from Phil Hockey via Instagram. So he's asked, when you struggle to get up and go training, what motivates you?
Winning Olympic medals.
Good answer.
So cliche, what? But I don't know. That's just what I think about, because I think, oh God, I bet all those other girls are getting up out of bed and they're going training, and then they're going to beat me, and then I'm going to be really angry with myself. So that's what gets me out of bed, and that's what motivates me, to be honest.
Yeah, perfect answer. Right, next question is from Santiago Reyes Garcia, also on Instagram. So he says, first of all, congratulations on getting the gold and the silver, especially after the puncture. What would your tips be for someone who wants to get into triathlon, and how would you focus your training?
I think if you want to get into triathlon, you probably need to find a triathlon club, or at least find a triathlon event. You don't specifically need to join a club straight away. You can do things on your own. You can just go for some swims, a few runs, just get on your bike, really. And also probably practice transitions a little bit, because they're quite important. But yeah, I'd say just enter a triathlon, just go for it. And I think if you're thinking about it, then you're obviously wanting to do it. So if you're thinking about it, just do it and enter it and try it. And then if you enjoy it, I'm sure you'll meet a lot of very keen triathletes at that event, and they can point you in the right direction. So I'd say the first thing to do would just enter a triathlon and then go from there and see if you enjoy it.
And the final question I've got for you, again, it's via Instagram, and it's from Jax202. So he asks, does Georgia want to surpass Emma Snowsill and Flora Duffy's three world titles?
That's a tough one. So it's difficult in triathlon to get a world title. I feel like mine's a bit of a cheat, to be honest, because I didn't do the full series. In triathlon, you have to do a full series of racing, and you accumulate points over about six races. So world title isn't just on one race on one day, it's over about six races. So it's quite difficult, because you've got to be very consistent through the season. I mean, I would love to be up there with Flora and Emma Snowsill, but I'm not sure. It's something that I will strive for, and I've got time behind me, but I would really enjoy that, but we'll see. I don't want to aim too high.
Right, that's everything from me, Georgia. Thank you. I'm going to pass you over to Sean now.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Hi, Georgia. Good to meet you finally.
Hi.
So, we've got similar to the guys, we've got a few questions for myself, and we've got some listener questions. I was just going to ask about training, really. You know, the split between the three disciplines, swim, run, bike. What does a typical training day look like in the build-up to games or a series for you?
So I guess how we break it down is, for each discipline, we'll do two specific sessions in a week. So swimming, I'll do two main hard sessions. So that'll be a faster, shorter session, and then a more of a threshold, long rep kind of session. And then the same for cycling, really. Well, I'll do a faster, shorter sprint session, and I'll do a longer threshold kind of session, where we might do 45 minutes up to an hour worth of threshold effort on the bike. And then, yeah, the same for running, a faster, shorter session on a Tuesday, and then a Saturday is like longer, harder, hillier reps on the grass. So that's how I'd sort of break it down. And then I do five swims in total. I ride my bike five times and I run four times, and then I do two gym sessions. And that's just basically, I just slotted straight into that training plan when I moved to Leeds for university. That was like 9 years ago now. And it hasn't really changed at all, because it just seems to work, and we've got the right, I guess we've got the right formula now, and we tweak things now and again, and obviously sessions change every week, and I'm always trying to get better and learn and get better in different areas. But it just seems to work now.
When you In the swimming, is it all open water swimming, even in the training?
No, so we don't really do much open water at all, to be honest, because it's too cold. It's hard to do it over here. So we do some sessions in the pool in the summer. So now we've been doing a few open water sessions, but maybe only one a week, if that. So I try and do open water now and again, because it is good to just familiarize yourself with it. And like I said earlier, just get used to having people around you and on top of you, and being okay with that and realizing that you're going to get through it. But it's easier to do the very specific stuff in the pool, and you can then work to times, and you know when you're actually improving.
Yeah, I agree with what you were saying before and what the other guys say. That swim looks terrifying when I watch it. It just looks, I just think, God, yeah. The only time I swim is probably if I fall in on holiday or something.
Yeah, the swim's the worst part.
And yeah, just going back to the games being postponed as well, how did you find that? How did you deal with it? Did you ease off your training and then ramp it back up? How did that work?
Yeah, so we'd been in Australia for 7 weeks on a training camp beginning of last year, to prepare for the Olympics, because it was hotter out there. So we needed to acclimatise and get used to the heat and just get a good training block in, really. So, yeah, we went out there thinking that the Olympics was going to go ahead, and this was our really good block that we needed to really get our heads down and train for. And then we got home around mid to the end of March, and then coronavirus obviously hit and things got a lot worse. And then there was a lot of rumours going around that the Olympics was going to be cancelled or postponed at least. And I just tried not to listen to them, because I thought, surely not. I mean, the only time that they've ever cancelled an Olympics is for a war. And I thought, surely they're going to be able to make it happen. And then obviously things got way worse and races started to get cancelled. And I think then I started to realise it's probably going to get postponed. And when it did, it was hard. I cried for a little while, and I cried for a few days, because you just think, oh, you've spent all that time preparing for that one race and now it's taken away. And who knows, like last year could have been my year, and then this year maybe it wasn't going to be my year, and you just think everything's ruined now. But I think soon I came round to it, and I was like, well, I need to stop being a baby. Everyone's in the same position. Every athlete in the world is in the same position as me right now. I need to stop being so pathetic about this. And just, yeah, we just kind of rejigged my training, because we didn't need to, all the races were basically cancelled or postponed, so we didn't need to do any race specific stuff. So we just went back into a winter training block, and I took a little bit of time off here and there, but not like a solid week off or 2 weeks off. I just took days off here and there where I just didn't have the mojo. I just wasn't feeling it, because I had no races to aim for and the world had just stopped. So yeah, I didn't feel like I wanted to train at that point. So I just kind of enjoyed doing other things, like taking the dog out for a really long walk. Like I just enjoyed doing that. So it was nice to be able to just step back and enjoy training and not have to think about the races that were coming up and the pressure that is put on you, and hitting certain times in training. It was nice to just change things up. And we did a bit of open water swimming, which was fun to do. And yeah, did some like Zwift racing on my turbo trainer on the bike, and just tried new things, really.
Yeah, it's interesting. We talked a little bit in recent podcasts about the effect of that, really, you know, lockdown, and we've seen a lot of strong performances at all levels, really, in running and other disciplines, where people have really probably had the opportunity to not have the pressure of races and not have to work through injuries, and maybe that's helped in some ways. They've seen so many good performances.
Yeah, I think it's gone two different ways. Like, people have done really well coming off of it, because maybe they've stepped back and just relaxed and enjoyed it a bit more because there's been no pressure on them. And then I think it's that you've also seen a lot of athletes leading into the Olympics or at the Olympics getting injured. And I think that's just because we've had such a consistent block of training for so long. We've not had those forced periods of of downtime leading into a race. And you're planning easy weeks, but it's not as easy as it would be if you were in a race week. And coming off of a race, you'll then have a few easy days. So I think the accumulation of all those easy weeks not being there, I think that's just not been great for athletes. And especially for me, I think that's the reason why I got injured leading into the games. It's a shame because I was so consistent and doing so well for so long, but I think that was a bad thing for me because I didn't take enough time to relax and recover properly.
And what about the next 12 months? What does the next 12 months look like for you? And is there any time to relax in there? Hopefully the next 12 months will be predictable than the last.
Yeah. So I've got 5 more races left. So I don't finish my season until the beginning of November. And then I'll take probably the rest of November off and just put my feet up, chill out, just do other things, go for walks. I won't train at all. I might go for a few jogs here and there. And then I will probably look to do Commonwealth Games next year. So obviously because the Olympics was postponed a year, we're straight back into Commonwealth Games. So I can't take too much of a downtime because I'd quite like to do well in that. And I automatically qualified from the silver medal at the Olympics. So I think that's a bit of weight off my shoulders and less pressure on me because I don't have to worry about trying to qualify for that now. So that's just done. I'll focus on Commonwealth Games, which is probably in less than a year now. So that'll come around fast, I'm sure. And then it'll just be following the World Series circuit and getting a few cross-country races in there. So yeah, there'll definitely be things to keep me busy.
And the million-dollar question, the golden question, which is my last one, is what's the celebration or post-race meal for you?
A burger. Burger, always. I don't know when that became a thing for us, but I think for quite a few years now, before the race, we'll be on Google and Instagram looking at different burgers and stuff. So finding the best burger in the city that we're in, and we'll go to any length to go and get that burger. So yeah, we always go for a burger after a race, and that hits the spot.
That was an important question, that one.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of questions from listeners as well. Andy Sykes, who's just recently joined East Cheshire Harriers, actually, and he's a listener of the show, and he always asks some good questions. But what he's asked is, as a runner who takes part in races, we often get medals taking part. We usually take it home, put it in a bag, or put it somewhere in the house. But as an Olympian who's won gold and silver medals, what do you actually do with those?
They just go in my bedside table at the minute in the little pouches. We got like really lovely wooden boxes for them, but then, because people still want to see your medals at the minute, I just keep them in the pouches and then I can show people my medals. But I think I'll maybe just put them on a shelf in the spare room or something. And I don't know, they're there forever. It's weird, isn't it? Like, it's such an amazing achievement and stuff, and getting that medal. And it's a really cool medal. But what do you do with it? It'll just hang there with the rest of my medals.
Yeah, it's a really good question, that, where I was intrigued to know the answer. We've got a question from Hayley Simpson, who's also another East Cheshire Harriers, and she's asked via Instagram. First of all, she says, well done on such an amazing performance at the Olympics, especially after some injuries. She's asked, how do you manage to keep motivated during injuries?
It's tricky. I think my recent one was hard because it was 11 weeks out from the games, and it was just a bit of a shock. I just didn't see it coming at all. Like, usually I kind of know if I'm going to get injured, and especially with a bone injury, I mean, usually my weight drops drastically and things change quite a bit. And as a girl, I guess you lose your menstrual cycle, so you kind of see the signs. But this one was strange because it did just come out of nowhere. So yeah, I think it was hard to deal with because I was in such a good place, and then this injury all of a sudden cropped up, and it was just a shock. Like we didn't think it was going to happen at all. So the first week or two, probably the first 2 weeks, I cried a lot, because that's the period where every other athlete going to the games that you're competing against and you want to beat is just fine-tuning all the training and getting those very specific sessions in. And I couldn't do any of that. I mean, I was on crutches for the first 2 weeks, and I was trying to ride my bike single leg just to give me some sort of purpose and keep me going. It wasn't doing anything at all. It was just to keep my mind busy and not completely crush me. But I think I just had to, I think for me, I always, because I've had so many injuries now, I just sort of have to trust the process and trust that it's happening for a reason. And I do believe that things happen for a reason. And I don't know, it's a bit of a test as well on me, and I feel like I get tested a lot, and to see what I can manage and how I can deal with it. But I think you just have to look at the bigger picture, and just think that you are capable of more than you think, and you will get through it. And just, you have to be sensible at the time, that you have to really follow the advice that's being given, and the plan that the physios and the medical team put together for me was very, very strict at first, especially for the first 6 weeks. I wasn't allowed to do much at all. And then all of a sudden it ramped up quite quickly. And again, that was very daunting when it ramped up really quickly, because I still had 5 weeks until the games, and we really increased my training, and I didn't know whether I was even going to make it to the end of that 5 weeks in one piece, or if my injury was going to come back again. So that was always in the back of my mind. But I don't know, I think injury can be a good thing as well, because you can learn a lot about your body, and you can learn from your mistakes and realize what you did wrong. Like I realized that, like I said before, I didn't plan my training as well as I thought I had. I didn't put enough downtime in there. So looking forward now, I'll definitely put easier weeks in there, or even take a week out during my winter training just to have more downtime and more time for my body to recover.
Yeah, that is the mental side of it. You know, when you always think of athletics and triathlon or any kind of sport, really, you think of that physical aspect of it first of all, but mentally it's such a big part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like when I crossed the finish line in the individual race, it was almost just a relief. Like I'd made it there, and I actually managed to do it, and I was injury free. And we just got through it. And I was just completely mentally exhausted. Not so much physically, because I hadn't been able to do the physical work leading into the games. But mentally, it was just so draining. Just all the emotions flying around and just the worry constantly. And wondering if I'm just going to make a fool out of myself out there and not be fit enough at all to compete with the girls. And also just the pressure from being part of Team GB, and they took a chance on me, even though I hadn't been able to race at all before the games. I didn't want to let them down, and I wanted to make sure that they picked me for a reason. So yeah, there's definitely more the mental side than anything, but I think you just find other things to do. You find, like, lucky that I've got my dog and my partner that kept me busy, and he kept a smile on my face and made sure I was just looking forward, really.
Yeah, and just one more question from Hayley. She asked, do you have anyone that inspires you?
Good. I think every athlete, to be honest. I'm such a sports fan. I just think, I don't know, I guess you, when you're in sport, you appreciate the athletes much more, because you realize how hard it is to get to the top and how much you have to commit and dedicate your whole life to it. But yeah, I just think every athlete, and my family inspire me, to be honest. I mean, they're there all the time. They're so proud of me, and they're just happy that I'm happy and in a sport that I love. So yeah, I just, so many people inspire me, even just seeing people go for a run early in the morning, clearly before they're about to go and work for the day. I just think, I just don't know how people do that at all. I have it as my full-time job and I still moan about having to go for a run and that's all I have to do in the day. So yeah, I think like the general public inspire me, to be honest, because they manage to train and do all this exercise and still work a full-time job.
That's a good point. That sometimes when you don't want to go out, you look on Strava and see someone's gone out and you think, oh god, I better go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's everything there. I think that's all the questions. Do you have the medals to hand, Georgia? Are they near you? Can we see the medals? I don't know if it's going to work on the podcast, this feature, but...
Yeah. No, I do have them. I've got them out. If you wanted to see them, then I get them out.
Look at them. Blouses.
They're very chunky.
Yeah, aren't they?
But yeah, that's they're quite heavy.
Yeah.
I think they're... Well, I weighed them because I was intrigued as to whether the gold weighed more than the silver. And the gold does weigh more, but only 10 grams more. But they're about 280 grams each, so they're quite heavy. But they're quite cool. And they're made from old mobile phones. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, so it was like supposed to be a very sustainable Olympics. Obviously, there was the cardboard beds, which everyone heard about. And then the medals are made from old mobile phones that they recycled. And then I guess they just gold plated and silver plated and bronze plated them. So, yeah, quite cool that they're all recycled, actually. So, no, it's, I don't know, it's a bit weird having them. I mean, I guess growing up, I've seen quite a few Olympic medals now, being around Olympians and going to events, and you're inspired by different athletes and you get to hold the medal, and now I get to keep it and have it in the house all the time. So yeah, it's a bit weird, but they're very cool.
I feel very privileged there. Well, I think that's all the questions. We want to be respectful of your time. I know you're busy and we really appreciate you taking the time out to join us. It's been really nice speaking to you.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Make sure you wear that top on your run tomorrow as well.
Yeah, I will. Grey though, it's not a good colour for running, is it?
No, well.
Especially in this heat.
Maybe on a cooler day.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Georgia.
Thank you, Georgia. It's been brilliant.
Oh, no worries. Not a problem at all. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you to The Village Hotel and Gym in Ashton for sponsoring this episode of Local Runners Podcast. Don't forget, The Village Hotel and Gym in Ashton is located in the Tameside and is well equipped with everything you need, including the best beds in town, rooms with large TVs, and that's not to mention a Starbucks, a pub, a grill, and fully equipped Village Health and Wellness Club. Get to their website and check for availability, or even call in and see what their gym membership schemes and personal trainers can help with.
So that's it for this episode. Don't forget to show us your Local Runners podcast kit on the socials. Our next episode, we have a couple of things lined up, however, nothing confirmed. So keep an eye on our socials for details. And remember, the journey to success may be long, but there's nothing wrong with taking some rocky roads.